Fires in Colorado raging, scorching 11,000 acres, killing one, forcing thousands of evacuations. The quarry fire is being investigated as an arson, and authorities have asked for tips. In California, forecasts of thunderstorms and lightning have made fighting the Part Fire treacherous, with nearly 6,400 firefighters on the scene, fire spreading more than 624 square miles. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at wrce.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE. And on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
NewsService.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny and warm today with highs in the upper 80s. Tonight, few clouds and a low of 63. Slight chance of a thunderstorm on Sunday, otherwise sunny and hot with a high near 90 and the heat index to the mid to upper 90s. For Sunday night, mostly cloudy and a low around 66. Currently, 88 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the hilarious and deadpan comedy stylings of Tom Ryan. And Green Bay band Ask Your Mothers, Eric and Adam, will join me to perform in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Again, what's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining us. I am Mark Becker, your host this week, as every week. I'm really honored to have this guest here. If you listen to the show, you're probably a pretty well-informed person. If you are a well-informed person, you know who this guy is. If you don't, well, you will, and I promise you're going to leave the show thinking the same thing I do. Man, this dude is really smart. My guest today, a nationally renowned political consultant and commentator. He writes for, well, everybody, but the Bulwark Rolling Stone, host of the Bulwark podcast, contributor to Crooked Media. Yes, the Positive America guys. Speaking of them, he appears on as a frequent guest, political consultant to numerous national campaigns, a brilliant writer. Speaking of that, he authored a New York Times bestseller. If you're watching on the video, I got my my copy here. I have good product placement. Why We Did It, a travelogue from the Republican Road to Hell. All around wonderful guy, my friend Tim Miller. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, Mark right. Becker.
All around good guy, Tim Miller. You're here in the flesh. It's
too
really
kind
you.
Of an intro.
Thank
yeah,
you.
It's really me. Hell yeah, Wisconsin. Let's do this.
This is a big. It's a big state. You know, this is going to be that whole blue wall thing. So yeah. The show is the show is broadcast on 20 different stations all across the state. So your voice is traveling the fruited plains.
Well, hello, Wisconsin.
Of cheese curds and Packer country. So it's awesome to have you. How's book sales? New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, you know, I sold kind of a lot of books. I'm grateful that people read it. And, you know, it was I wrote it during the pandemic and yeah. I was finishing it during, I was at my husband's home in West Virginia. And the only place I could get peace was in his childhood bedroom. And so kind of like going back through the trauma of all the bad decisions that you made as a Republican operative while sitting in your husband's childhood bed is like, you know, it's something I had to deal with my therapist for a little while, but I think it turned out all right.
I would imagine, you know, cause my bookmark is there. So I haven't gotten through all of it yet, but it is interesting. And I would imagine there is some of that cathartic, like, oh man, you know, as you're writing this, I had Charlie Sykes on. He was patient zero. Charlie Sykes he was the first guest. And I asked him, you know, are you the same person? He's like, no, really, I'm not. As he was when he was on the air.
In a good way, though. A lot of growth.
Yes.
I think Charlie's grown. I've grown. And yeah, I try. In the book, look, I had a lot of people come to me. They want me to write this book, these publishers, that was like a burn book. If you've ever seen Mean Girls, I'm just like, here are all these terrible Republicans.
Yes.
And I was like, okay. I said, basically, I'll do a burn book, but I'll do a half a burn book. Yes. In the first half, I'll burn myself. And I feel like that way I will at least, you know, feel like I can do it with integrity if I like look inward for a while. And then once I feel like I've fully, you know, gone to confession, as a Catholic boy, then I can turn my fire on all the people who still need to go to confession. So, that's what I tried to do with it. And, I've changed, the party's changed and, you know, the country's changed in a lot of ways, some good, some not as good.
You grew up with that good old fashioned Catholic guilt too, eh?
I did, man. I did. It just hangs over me.
Dude. Yeah. PTSD. Now you've recently moved here in the Crescent City.
No. Yeah, I'm in New Orleans now. I'm in New Orleans. It's nice, man. Being in a blue dot in a red state is, I think, a very healthy balance. You know, sometimes those blue cities and blue states, it's a little crazy stuff going on a little bit sometimes. And, I think that New Orleans is amazing. The food here is great. Everybody's so welcoming to us, to my little family. My daughter's in kindergarten, going to go to first grade. And everybody's been super welcoming. And Carville's down here, so I get to have lunch with him from time to time. And it's been a good move for us. And New Orleans also just is so vibrant. And for me, I'm just in the I'm in the SHIT. I don't know if I can cuss on this radio show. I'm in it all day. You know, I'm like up early. I'm reading everything. I'm on the podcast. I'm on MSNBC. And people are calling me for advice. Like, I'm just doing stuff all day. And so like when it's over, when I step away from it, I want to talk to somebody about like LSU football or gumbo or whatever.
Denver,
you know, and
Nuggets
a good
basketball.
City for that. Yeah. Or Nuggets basketball. I'm a Nuggets head. I'm from Denver, but New Orleans has been a good move for us.
Yeah. And so I was going to ask you about that. I might as well do it now. But like, what do you do every day? I mean, I would imagine with all of your experience, you've got to have people asking for advice. And I mean, this is the circus time right now.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I made a decision after 2020 to like retire from paid political consulting, which means I can give free political advice. So people call and I give free advice all the time, but I'm focused mostly on the Bulwark. You know, I think a nice thing about it is the daily podcast, the Bulwark podcast that Charlie used to do that I've taken over from him. And I just, I could just say whatever I think, you know, I don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. Oh, is a client going to get mad at me or whatever? I tell people what I think. It got, you know, so at when Joe Biden was really struggling after the debate, I think I was a lot more free than some, you know, people on the left to just say, be honest about how bad it was, be honest about how troubling it was that he was not up for this job anymore. And so I think that being a former Republican and not, you know, not just switching sides to become a Democratic strategist, being a former Republican that's a free agent gives me, I think, a little more clarity than some other people that you see on the news who are good people, but who have their eye on something else. You know, it's hard to be totally honest when you're like, oh, well, maybe that politician might want to hire me later. Nobody's going to hire me anymore. I've written a burn book about all the Republicans and my baggage is too extensive for a Democrat to ever hire me. So I'm free to just, you know, speak my mind.
No, that's great. It's a beautiful place to be. And I kind of, you know, on a much, obviously much, much smaller scale, you know, I kind of did that too. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to, you know, focus on not necessarily who's going to hire you or what your next move is, but like, let's just do what's right and work for people and fight for people who are interested in doing the same. It's a cool place to be.
Yeah, it's good for your soul.
You know, it
candor
is.
And refreshing.
Yeah, so is the crawfish boil and gumbo and Cafe Du Monde, you know?
Yeah, I ate a man much larger than me's portion of crawfish this spring.
Dude,
I was just sucking crawfish heads all spring. It was my first spring down here. I was like, I'm the crawfish season. I was getting in it.
It's got to be interesting, like you say, to be the blue dot in a red state. How you know, regionally, how is that? You know, Louisiana is typically a pretty red area, you know.
Well, we got a new governor who might be the worst governor in the country. So there are things to worry about. I feel worried. Yeah, Jeff Landry's a really bad governor.
Yep.
So they had a conservative Democrat that I really liked, John Bel Edwards, who was really my cup of tea, kind of a free market, cultural moderate Democrat, but also, you know, cared about working people and was, you know, in touch with the South. He was a great governor. And then he got term limited out. Jeff Landry came in, far right, culture warrior, on Fox all the time. And, you know, he's doing a lot of stuff that I feel worried for kids. If you're a kid growing up in Shreveport, and, you know, you're trying to deal with your sexuality, you're in a mixed race family, stuff that we know about, Mark, you and I know about. It's like, I think that there's a lot of potential burdens on them right now in what's going on in the schools and having just kind of these MAGA extremists trying to take over the curriculum from families. Like they say it's parents' rights, but it's not. It's like, it's just there. It's them imposing their beliefs on everybody. And I'm concerned about that. But like in New Orleans, you know, I'm just lucky enough to not have to deal with that, right? Yeah. Like we get to choose where we live. We get to choose what school she can go to, you know, and are the community so welcoming? And so, we haven't dealt with anything that I have to worry about besides, I guess, hurricane prep.
Yeah, there's that little thing.
Yeah.
The governor of Louisiana, he did that 10 commandments thing, right?
The 10 commandments. Yeah. He's done a version of the Don't Say Gay bill.
Yeah.
You nice know, guy. Targeted trans folks pretty aggressively. He sucks.
The first thing I really want to get into is how did we get here? You were in it on such a deep level and a high level. You know, when did you start seeing those cracks in the foundation?
Yeah. You know, I saw it for a while. I think I rationalized what I get to a lot in the book was, look, you know, at the presidential level, you know, say what you want about George Bush, catastrophic mistakes on foreign policy.
Really good person.
A well-intentioned person.
Oh,
and
the
compassionate conservative thing came from an earnest place. John McCain, good person, Mitt Romney. And so that was my formative time, right?
Statesman.
And so,
statesman.
And so every time I saw this, what Charlie would call recessive gene, every time I saw this stuff that grossed me out, bubbling it up, whether it be Palin or the Tea Party or even at local levels, I'm sure you saw this in Wisconsin. A lot of times I would work for the more moderate candidate and there would be a Trumpy-ish type candidate or a Ted Cruz-ish candidate. Somebody's either kind of a populist a demagogic candidate or like a very extreme Christian conservative. And most of the time, the more mainstream candidate would win, at least in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but you're like, okay, there are people out there that are looking for this more extreme stuff. And every time I saw that, you know, kind of move that direction, I kind of rationalized it. And I was like, well, but look at the top level. At the top, you know, adults are still in charge, so to speak.
Right.
And, you know, the adults were in charge till they weren't. And I think the adults made a lot of mistakes trying to appease the more extreme elements of the base. You know, we call it throwing red meat at the base is what we called it. You know, we'd pretend like we were upset about a mosque at Ground Zero, or you'd pretend like you're mad about whatever the culture war du jour thing was.
Pizzagate.
And I think that phoniness, the voters sensed it. And I think that we are not responsive to some of the voters' legitimate concerns in the Republican Party. I think that there were some legitimate concerns about the wars, about immigration. You know, there are some illegitimate concerns about immigration, but there are also some legitimate concerns that were dismissed by the Republican Party leaders. And I think and then Trump comes in and it just created this toxic stew where there was distrust between the voters and the leadership. And there was like a demand for something different, and Trump offered it to them in kind of the worst way imaginable. And I think, you know, maybe had you gone back and had a more genuine populist, you know, that did not traffic in this kind of anti, you know, bigotry, maybe we could be in a better place now, but we're not. And so I think that to me is kind of how I diagnose how we got here.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in the next segment here, we got coming up, I want to talk a little bit about that as well. Yeah, you know, I talked to Reed Ribble was on the show, and he said, you know, because I asked him the same question, and he thinks, you know, my thought was it was really the Tea Party, and Reed blames talk radio, and so I want to get into that. And
is Reed Ribble for Kamala? Does he have a position yet?
I don't know.
I'm interviewing you now.
I'll have to ask him because I don't know. He will never endorse Trump.
Yeah.
Right.
So good man.
He's a wonderful man, and we're so happy to have him here. But you know, he had a really unique perspective as well that we'll talk about a little later on here, on the other side. So we're sitting down with Tim Miller, author of Why We Did It. Get the book here. We got a link on our website, and we'll be back in just a moment.
News from the center, WRCE.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of Village Hearth buns on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including unsliced old-fashioned, classic white or wheat, country potato, and mini sliders, the bakers of Village Hearth have the buns your family will love. Village Hearth buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
Life hack number 7, get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We're talking with nationally renowned, all-around good guy, political commentator, my friend Tim Miller, author of Why We Did It. Get the book. We've got a link on all of our socials, website, all that stuff. It's a really, really fascinating deep dive on how we got on this conversation. You know, we were talking about on the other side where this came from. I remember my first like big time political rally was at the Resch Center here in Green Bay when John McCain. I think it was just a couple days after he named Sarah Palin as his running mate, and you know, he came in and she did her speech, and it was almost like George W. Bush at the inauguration, where he's like, man, that was some crazy, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And so for me, and I was just getting into the political game, and seeing, you know, where we are now, going back, where did it come from? Boy, that Tea Party was a problem.
Yeah. I think that, again, the McCain-Palin thing demonstrates that this was not a monocausal thing, right? There are two things happening at the same time. There are multiple things, but there are two things in particular that can be highlighted by the McCain-Palin pick. Firstly, there was a bottom-up demand from voters, from conservative voters, that wanted new outsider leadership, yeah, were not happy with the wars, were not happy with the neocon foreign policy, were not happy with, you know, kind of the more moderate social views, and they wanted somebody that was more of a fighter, more in line with them. And so, you know, the Palins and then Trump eventually gave them what they were asking for. Then there's a top-down failure of responsible leaders to kind of do, you know, what leaders, yeah, should do. And John McCain, great man, was totally irresponsible in choosing Sarah Palin. And I think that had the more mainstream Republican leadership, like, listened to the voters more about their legitimate concerns and done a better job addressing them, maybe they wouldn't have turned to the more demagogic politicians. Maybe they would have. I don't know. We will never know. But I think that the Palin thing kind of encapsulates both, like, that failure, yeah, of leadership combined with, like, this, you know, populist demand for something a little more vulgar.
Whose idea was that? Was the Palin pick?
Steve Schmidt.
Was it really? No way.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
I get into it a little bit in the book. Okay. Yeah. Look, Mark Salter is his longtime speechwriter.
Good man. Brilliant guy.
Was involved and was pushing for Pawlenty.
Yes.
Schmidt was pushing for Palin. Pawlenty was the governor of Minnesota at the time, the neighboring state, for people who don't remember. and McCain wanted Lieberman.
Yes.
McCain wanted to do a unity ticket.
That would have been crazy.
And basically a lot of folks around him said he can't do a unity ticket because Lieberman's pro-choice and there'll be a revolt at the convention.
Oh yeah.
And so then Pawlenty, I think, felt a little bit milquetoast, already losing. They wanted to shake up the race, and Schmidt was making the case for Palin. Now Schmidt will blame other people and say that the vetting team didn't give him all the info.
Yeah.
And maybe that's fair. Yeah. Maybe that's fair. But that's basically what happened.
Okay. And so, you know, to Reed Ribble's point about talk radio. Now, obviously, with Rush, the elephant in the room, no pun intended, you know, we got Hannity and Gingrich as a frequent. How did that get such in the gutter? I mean, you know, Reed said, what was it, the fairness doctrine? Is that what that was? Or really allowed Rush to get that notoriety, and it just exploded in the early 90s. I mean, talk about the damage that has done.
Yeah, the talk radio is part of it. I think that where we are now, the biggest problem that we have, maybe not the biggest, one of the biggest problems that we have in our culture, in our polarized times, is that people now totally cocoon themselves in a comfortable bubble of information where they are radicalized, where they're told everything they think is true, where they're never challenged. And the talk radio was the beginning of this, right?
Yeah.
But even back in the 90s, you know, somebody in Wisconsin, I don't want to pick on poor Charlie, but somebody could listen to Charlie, listen to Rush, listen to Mark Levin. But then at nighttime, they'd watch the local Green Bay News. They'd watch Tom Brokaw, you know, and so they're at least getting a mixture of views and information. And so what I think really happened that got us to where we are, and the talk radio guys were an early, you know, move towards this direction, was you get into the 2000s, you get to the lead up to Trump, and people now, they're listening to Rush, they're listening to Hannity, whoever, they're on social media, they're reading Breitbart, they're on their Facebook feed, they've got like random conservative influencers, Ben Shapiro, Charlie Carr, that they're following, and they're not getting any other news. They're watching at nighttime, they're watching Tucker or Laura. Yeah. And so between talk radio and Fox and social media, it's created this news environment where people are becoming really more and more extreme, being made more and more extreme by the news that they consume. And I don't know how to fix that, but and I think the talk radio was one example of it. But, you know, it's one of those things, balance in all things. It's kind of fine when it was just one part of your meal, but when it's the whole meal, like, that's a problem.
It's interesting because a few weeks ago I had a guy, Paul Page, who was the voice of like the Indianapolis 500, because I love racing and all that. And he was, there was a series called CART, and that went bankrupt, and it was all, but it was like Formula One in America. And okay. I said, well, why did that go away? And he said, well, because people had options, you know, instead right. of your kart being the only game in town, you could watch football or you could watch. And so yeah. I guess that slate of options that a la carte is also the same thing that, you know, kind of doomed, you know, our political, you know, yeah. candor and all of that. It's, but so all this boils over into Trump. But I think, you know, the dirty little secret is most people in the GOP leadership, they can't stand the guy and they know he's bad, but they don't yeah. do anything about it. Like, why?
Yeah, self-preservation. This is where you do have to give the Democrats credit for actually having the courage to stand up to Biden over the last yes. month and take some risk. But obviously the situations are different in a lot of ways, but just the one way in which they're the same is that, you know, it was risky to speak out and say something that there's something wrong with your side. And because, you know, you have the most active members of your coalition get mad. And a lot of these Democratic politicians like Adam Schiff or others yeah. who spoke out, like took a lot of heat from the yeah. activists who were like, you know, you're helping Trump or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's this inverse thing on the other side where these guys, their voters like Trump. Mm. And so if they speak out, you know, then they're risking their political career. And you've seen this time and again. And I, you know, I think that there are people that have done this courageously, like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And then there are people like you're in your state, like Mike Gallagher, who have yeah. done this in the most cowardly way possible, which yeah. is rather than speaking out about what they know to be true about the threat of Trump, they just walk away. They just retire. Yep. Paul Ryan may be a little bit of a hybrid between the Gallagher and the Liz Cheney, yeah. you know, where he is at least speaking out sometimes to his credit, but maybe not giving his full view so as to not jeopardize his position on the Fox board. So
right.
that's all this is, man. It's all short term careerist, you know, protecting yourself and not wanting to become irrelevant and not wanting to get thrust out into the wilderness. And it's led to a lot of really damaging results. I mean, we didn't have to be here. Had 17 Republicans voted to convict Donald yeah. Trump after the insurrection, you know, the nominee of the party would probably be Ron DeSantis or whatever, Nikki Haley or somebody else who would have run.
Right. We're talking with Tim Miller here. Great conversation. We're going to talk about here where the race sits now. We're going to talk about his book. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff here on the last segment with Tim. Coming on up. We'll see you in a little bit.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In a Venezuelan capital of Caracas, protesters filling the streets over the nation's contested election. President Nicolas Maduro has declared victory, but the main opposition party says it has copies of most voting tallies proving that they won. The U.S. is recognizing Edmundo Gonzalez as the winner. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin revoking the controversial plea deal for the alleged mastermind of the 9/11 terror attacks and two of his accomplices, putting the death penalty back on the table. Austin says he's taking over responsibility for the cases. We've learned a Frontier pilot was arrested before passengers boarded his flight Thursday at George Bush International Airport in Houston. According to the Houston police, the pilot identified as Seymour Walker was wanted on an assault family violence warrant. Frontier says the flight was canceled. And at the Paris Games, runner Sha'Carri Richardson placing second in the semifinal and advancing to the final later today. This is ABC News.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Service.
Brewers with a victory in the nation's capital. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee with a comfortable 8-3 win over the Nationals last night under the lights in Washington, D.C. Contributions from Blake Perkins, Jackson Chirio at the plate, and this one, top of the seventh, William Contreras lifting one 439 feet on Apple TV. Again, the final 8-3, the Brewers, the Nationals, have now lost 8 of their last 10 games. College football, the Badgers wrapping up week 1 of their training camp in Platteville. Running back Ches Malusi has suffered so many injuries, including a broken fibula last year. He talked about why he wanted to return to Wisconsin for head coach Luke Fickell's second season.
Obviously, Coach Fick's culture is like, it's grinding.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All-American Do-It Center, and Goplin Insurance.